Let me mention a couple announcements did not get in our bulletins. Jan Prentice, that's Regina's sister, the one who lives down in Miami, is not healing from her second surgery and cannot proceed in her treatment until resolved, until she gets healed enough. She cannot have radiation right now. And also her brother, Mark Thompson, he lives out in Arizona, that he had two ulcers removed from his foot, and they were septic. He had a biopsy at his home, of his bone, and they're waiting for the results of that. And so we ask you to keep them in your prayers, as both of them having health issues. And just kind of testimony again, that life is brief and that we have problems and our bodies does not always do what we want. I sometimes think of the fact that there's kind of three stages of the body. One is when you can make your body do what you want. The second stage is when your body doesn't do what you want. And third stage is when your body starts doing things you don't want to do. And so, fortunately, if we live long enough, I think we enter that third stage. But keep them in your prayers. This morning we want to talk about what I would term some big concept words that we find in the Bible. And these words be such as justice. If I ask you what justice is, we would have different ideas perhaps. We understand justice talked about in the Bible. And, forgiveness. That definitely is a big concept word. Mercy is another one. And finally, grace. All those are words that we understand are very important and words that we as Christians have read a number of times before in the Bible. We think about God's justice, and we understand justice is in relationship to the law. That is that in man's law, we determine try to have justice. Sometimes because we are not perfect, and sometimes because of various reasons, we may have laws that have to be amended or have to be changed because after a while people realize that that's really not what we're seeking, not what we're aiming for as far as justice. And that is, justice usually is that if you comply with the law, you receive some kind of reward, or at least you'll be protected. Whereas on the other side, if you violate the law, then there's going to be some kind of punishment. And we may think that the punishment, we tend to think, was not being a correlation to the severity of the law, the punishment of the law. And so we have this idea of justice, and we understand that with God's law, justice is in the law itself. And so when we read passages that we had read for us a few minutes ago out of Deuteronomy 10, and there verse 17 says, "For the Lord your God is God of gods, the Lord of lords. There is a great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality nor takes a bribe. He administers justice for the fatherless and the widow, and loves the stranger, give him food and clothing." And that is, God is not one that's going to have a double standard, we may say. He's not going to favor the rich or the poor or the one group of people over another people. That he is, as we would say here, that he is kind of, you can't bribe him so as to seek favor from him. So that would be the idea of justice. And also, in Psalms 89, first part there, verse 14, it says, "For righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne." And so anytime we look through the Bible, as I said this morning in Bible class, there may be times that we may kind of wonder why God said that or why God punishes in the way he does. But we have to acknowledge the fact that being a just God, that he's always going to do what justice demands. But then on the other side of that, we understand that there's the thing of forgiveness. And that is, we may look at times of the law, we may say, well, yeah, but there's an avenue of forgiveness. In fact, there's times we may think that it seems like the person should receive some kind of forgiveness inside that law. And so we look and we understand that there's passages that talks about us seeking God's forgiveness and seeking forgiveness from each other and us granting forgiveness to each other. And we have passages, again, that are well known to us Christians. In Matthew 6, verse 14, and as Jesus has here the model prayer, and he says, "Forgive us as we forgive others." And we find verse 14, he says, "For you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. And if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Obviously, the idea is, if we want forgiveness from God, we have to be willing to extend forgiveness to each other. Again, it can't be a double standard where say, "I want God to forgive me, but I cannot forgive somebody else who transgresses against me." And so we have that passage. We also have over in Luke 17, verse 3. And there's a question, and Jesus says, take heed to yourselves if your brother sins against you. Rebuke him, he repents, forgive him. Those are the avenue of forgiveness. Those are the things we're to do to somebody, does something against us. But then verse 4 says, and if he sins against you 7 times in a day, and 7 times a day return to you, saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. And so we understand, okay, that Jesus talks about, again, the necessity and the importance of forgiveness. And so then also we think about, on what basis do we forgive people? Why should we forgive people besides the fact that I want God to forgive me? Well, that's where we get into the idea of mercy. And as again we read about mercy, and often in mercy is the idea you don't get the punishment you really deserve. And so in mercy we find in Psalms 89 verse 14, the second part of that verse, when he says righteousness and just our foundation, your throne. But then he says mercy and truth go before you. And again, we look and understand that there's times God showed a lot of mercy towards individuals, towards people that we sometimes wonder, why didn't he punish them harshly? Why didn't he have such patience with the children of Israel during the Old Testament when they were worshiping idols, when he sent prophets and they would kill the prophets? Why did he keep on sending those prophets? Why again did he allow them to exist for so long? And we may say, well, he's long-suffering, yes, but you know, he was being merciful to them. He was showing them a lot of mercy. And the Apostle Paul, and he's talking about becoming an apostle and about his life as the persecuted Christians. And 1 Timothy 1 verse 12, he says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me because he kept me faithful, putting me into the ministry. And notice verse 13, and although I was formerly a blasphemer, he went out trying to persecute Christians. Actually stand against those who were, again, proclaiming the gospel. He's that persecutor. An insolent man, but obtained mercy because he did it ignorantly and unbelief. He did not get what he deserved, is what Paul's saying. And he deserved a harsh punishment, but he did not get that. And so we have mercy, we understand it's connected here with forgiveness, but also we think about the idea of grace also. And that grace we read in the Bible, we find that's talked about in various passages. In Acts 20, verse 32, and there it says, so now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those that are sanctified. And that is the last words he said to the elders of Ephesus. After he tells them about the fact that a division will come, a false teacher will come among them. But he says, and he talks about the word of his grace is what God is talking, what Paul points them towards. And then we have another passage, Ephesians 2, verse 5. As he talked about the sins of the Gentiles there to Ephesus. And he said, even in dead trespasses, when we were dead trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, by grace you have been saved. And verse 8 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not yourselves is a gift of God. And we understand here, grace is an unmerited favor. That grace is that we receive something, again, we don't desire. On the positive side. And so those ideas are put together. Now, so I thought about a lesson on justice, forgiveness, mercy, and grace in relationship to a current event. And that is, a couple of weeks ago, an event happened on a Wednesday that got everybody's attention, and that was dealing with a trial down in Texas, down in Dallas, Texas, and involved two people here. And this here is a guy by the name of Jotham Jean. And here is Amber Geiger. And those names may or may not be familiar with you. The fact is that Amber Geiger was a member of the Dallas Police Force. And as she went to her apartment building, and she says she got off on the wrong floor, and she entered into the wrong apartment, thinking it was her apartment. When she got there, apparently these apartments are furnished, and they're all kind of like cookie-cutter apartments. Each one looks about like the others. And she said she got to the door, and the door was ajar, so she walked in, and there was somebody she thought was a burglar inside her house. He was on the couch. And then whenever she spoke to him, he got up, and she shot and killed him. And so she acknowledged the fact she had indeed killed this person. The problem was, it was his apartment. She had gotten off on the wrong floor and entered into the wrong apartment. Now I will tell you, quite frankly, that I really didn't pay whole attention to this trial for a long time. But then something occurred to me, or something I heard did get my attention. And that is that this young man had gone to college in Searcy, Arkansas. And that's where Harding University is. A college connected with the Church of Christ, the Church of, Institutional Church of Christ. And not only that, but also he was a member of the Dallas Church of Christ. And you know, they honestly, they got my attention because of that. But as you look at it, those are the facts of the matter. And basically the family wanted what anybody else wanted. That is, they want justice. If we had a family member that was killed, we want to say, okay, did that person break the law? And if they did, we want justice administered. And therefore, they won Amber, found guilty of murder. And they had suffered harm. They had suffered the loss of a loved one. And then we find that the jury, when they heard the trial, that they basically found her guilty. As one jury member said, they had no choice. After hearing the testimony, after having looked at the evidence, that she had knowledge, that she had expressed regret for shooting and killing both Gene. And so they said they really had no choice under the law but to find her guilty of murder. However, in the sentencing phase, that they had, apparently Texas law has a large discrepancy as far as what she could get for her crime. Anyway, from 5 years to 99 years. And I remember telling Regina that morning, as was before the sentence was passed, that, you know, I figured probably about 20, 30 years what she received. I said, really anything over about 30, 40 years is going to be the rest of her life. Well, what happened was the jury came back and the jury gave her 10 years, but she could be out in 5 with good time served. And that got a lot of attention for some people. Some said, well, that doesn't seem fair that she should have served longer than that. And so that got a lot of attention and people were saying, well, it would have been the same if it had been a black man killing a white woman. And those kind of comments were made. However, what really got everybody's attention was Brandon Gene. And that is the brother of Jotham Gene. And now he took the stand, and in his stand, in his comments to the judge, he basically says some things. Again, I got everybody's attention. He says, and talking to her directly, he says, I love you just like anyone else, and I'm not going to hope you rot and die. And then he also said, I personally want the best for you. I wasn't going to say this in front of my family. I don't even want you to go to jail. Gene continued, I know if you go to God and ask him, he will forgive you. And he said that he had forgiven her. And now again, that got a lot of attention from people. And as really, what also got attention was that he then turned to the judge and asked for permission. And was granted permission to actually give her a hug. And then to kind of add to that, the judge actually gave her a hug also and then gave her a Bible. And told her to read her Bible. Now I know there's a lot more to simply turn to God and saying, I want you to forgive me or please forgive me. There's a lot to be teaching to be done here. But as I was listening to this and watching this, I thought about, okay, here's what is justice in this trial here. And justice, we understand, is determined by the law. Now again, man's law tends to not be perfect. God's law is. But realize that justice is not determined by the lawbreaker. We don't ask a criminal what would be justice in this case. If somebody breaks into your house, we don't ask them, well, how long do you think you should serve in prison for breaking my house, do we? But also, justice is not determined by the family. It's not determined by the one that's been victimized. If I was a woman, I was, for instance, somebody had attacked me, then justice may very well be the death sentence. But it may not really be justice. And so it's not determined by the victim. Also, it's determined by the law. And so when you look at this here, we find that justice is supposed to be blind. That doesn't matter who you are, the justice will be administered. And indeed, when you look at the Bible, we find there are various passages that talks about justice and gives us what the punishment be for various crimes. And that is required a lawbreaker to be punished. For instance, in Exodus 21, verse 32, here a case that says, if an ox gores a male or female servant, he shall give to their master 30 pieces of silver, and the ox shall be stoned. Now, there's one kind of thing, okay, that there's restitution made here. There's some kind of penalty paid here. And so that was justice in this case. But then if you back up here, we find that if something else happens, then justice is a little bit different. And that is in Exodus 21, verse 29. It said, but if the ox tended the thrust with his horn in times past. In other words, they had a history of doing this. They knew this would be a violent animal. It said, it has been made known to its owner, and it's not kept it confined, so that it has killed a man or a woman, the ox should be stoned, and its owner shall be put to death. Now, here's the idea of God's justice. Okay, life for life. You're responsible for the death of that person, therefore you, your life's going to be given for it. Because you knew, you had a part to play in this. And we understand the Old Testament, passage sometimes misunderstood, is when it says, talks about an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. And that is, the idea is that the punishment should be commensurate to the crime committed, to the penalty. And so we find that's talked about in this passage here. And there are other sins that were harsher. Blasphemy, violating the Sabbath day, adultery, and there's a number of other sins that the penalty for that was that they're going to be stoned to death, they're going to be killed. And so that was justice in those cases. And we understand the New Testament. When it talks about justice under God's law, and that is that the sinner is going to die. That we die for our sins. But then I guess is the second point is, okay, how about forgiveness then? And then we understand forgiveness means to not hold something against somebody. To allow the debt, basically to forgive the debt of somebody else is the idea of forgiveness here. And forgiveness, when you look at the Bible, is something that if we're the lawbreaker, that's something we want. You know, if you have a police officer comes up behind you, and you're doing 55 and 35 mile per hour zone, and all of a sudden you see those blue lights coming up, and he pulls you over and asks to see your license. And he may ask you, say, why are you in such a hurry? And what you're hoping is that maybe he will forgive you. If you say, well, you know, I was late to the doctor's office, or maybe I was on my way to the hospital to help somebody, maybe he'll give me forgiveness. Maybe he'll show me leniency and just tell me to slow it down. Well, that's what we want is we're the lawbreaker. We want forgiveness. And we understand that against God. And Romans 4, verse 7, it said, blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin. The idea of impute there is an accounting term, means to actually credit or to keep account of. And so we understand that if you have, when I was growing up, I don't know if any stores do that anymore, but right across the hill from us was Wade's grocery store. And Wade's grocery store, that Wade would have a box up there and have these little tab things, and you go in there and you could buy something, he would write it down, and that was your credit account. And he kept up with everything, and people would have all these counts of what they owed to Wade. Now, if Wade would decide, you know, I don't forgive you that, I'm just gonna throw that away. You know what you do? You shake his hand and say, I thank you. It's what you do. That's what we want from other people if we're the one that owes the debt. And so we look here, we find with God. That God, it talks about, that the person who sins, God has erased, that person is blessed. That it has not held that account against them. That's the idea there. And so that's what we want for our fellow man and what we want from God. So we want forgiveness. At the same time, we have to understand though, and again, that's something that we have to seek. It's something that we have to do something about. Over in Matthew 5, verse 23, it said, therefore, if you bring a gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Now, as there seek that forgiveness, seek reconciliation to your brother. Do what is necessary so as to become unified with that brother again. Because you need that forgiveness. That's what he's telling us in this passage. And so we have here this two things. We have justice. Again, justice under the law of Christ for the wages of sin is death. Romans 6, verse part 23. On the other side, we have forgiveness. And forgiveness is what we just read out of Romans 4, verse 7 and 8. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin. And so, okay, that gives us the idea of mercy. But however, and before we get into mercy, let's understand simple fact. That is, there has to be a forgiver if there's going to be forgiveness. In other words, somebody has to ask for forgiveness, but also somebody has to be willing to grant it. And when we deal with each other, I will tell you that forgiveness can be hard. You see, forgiveness can be hard. And in fact, when you go back to that passage in Luke 7, in verse 3 and 4, when Jesus says, if he sins against you seven times a day, and seven times a day returns to you and say, I repent, you forgive him. When we read that passage, and we have to acknowledge, that would be a hard thing to do, wouldn't it? If somebody came up to me and said, Dennis, I've sinned against you. And maybe they'd tell me where they did, and I said, well, you know, I understand you're human, and I know you're a good person, and I'll forgive you. It's okay. And then they come back maybe an hour later and say, Dennis, I did it again. I sinned against you again. And we do that process. You know, eventually I'm going to start thinking, no. No more. I've had it. I'm fed up with it, right? Well, the apostles knew that. And so in verse 5, when it said the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith, they weren't suddenly veering off to a different subject. They were still dealing with the idea of forgiveness, and they were acknowledging, in fact, you know, you got to have a lot of faith to do that. You have to really have a lot of faith and to forgive somebody that number of times. And that's right. And the reason forgiveness is hard is because of the fact there's a real cost to it. And what I mean by that is somebody does something against you, and you say, well, I forgive you, you have to be willing to set aside your pride, for one thing. And you have to be willing to act out of love that person. That can be hard to do. And the reason is because there's personal harm involved in it. There's somebody, for instance, and I'll just give you an example of, you know, any parent. If somebody would hurt one of my children and slander or something like that, and say, acknowledge they had done that and come and ask for forgiveness, you know what? That'd be hard to do as a parent. But the Bible says you got to forgive that person. You have to forgive them. Or the person, if they came to me and say, I gossiped about you, I slandered you, I told lies about you, and they say, I want you to forgive me, will you please forgive me? You know, again, there's a personal cost. My reputation has been harmed. Maybe people start doubting me. And so there's a real cost there because of personal harm, and not only that, so does with God. And as with God, you see, our sins against him, it's not simply the fact that we have violated some nebulous law that somehow really doesn't matter. No, we have violated the very law of God. We have acted in transgression into the very character of God. And the real cost of forgiveness there is his son. That he paid, he gave his son so that we can have forgiveness. And so there's a real cost with God and Jesus and his death on the cross for us. And so where we have forgiveness, it's possible. However, that gets us to this point here. The world doesn't do that. And that's why when talking about this Amber Geiger trial and the testimony of Brandon Jean, the next day I heard about all about it, and I was noticing that there has a video of him on trial and on the, talking about to her that way, and it's like 4 million people had already seen it. Today it's like 22 plus million people saw it, has seen that. I think, why is that? Why is it that that got everybody's attention? Well, because that's really unusual. That's really odd by today's standard. Today's standard says seek vengeance. If somebody does something against you, go out there and get your pound of flesh. Go out there and get what is owed you. Hold that grudge. Don't just say, I forgive you. This woman had killed her brother. This family had been harmed, and all of a sudden he's saying, I forgive you. Again, that didn't make a lot of sense there. And there were some people that even questioned Moses of Brandon Jean. I mean, start talking about all kinds of different ideas about why he would do this, other than the simple fact that he was trying to be a Christian and trying to show compassion. And so we understand that's not the way the world looks. But look at it, we understand forgiveness is predicated on mercy, for one thing. And that mercy means not be punished as we should. There was a number of times growing up, I would tell people sometimes that while I was growing up, I thought my dad was a really hard person. However, once I had children, I realized that he was very patient. Because if our kids had done some things my brother had done, they would have been dead by now. But you know, that's a different point of view from being a parent to a child. But a lot of times we may think, well, we're being punished, but no, we're not being punished as we should be. We're receiving a lighter sentence than that. And that is that we want, again, this idea, not really suffering the consequences. Not wanting to punish others as they deserve, this idea of mercy. And we have a couple examples in the Bible of that, and King David. And we know about the sin of King David with Bathsheba, about adultery committed, her and have her husband killed, and then the punishment was the child died, and we find all the bad things happening to David's household. How many of us will say, you know, that was really a harsh punishment? You know what the punishment of the law was? Death. Death for murder, death for adultery. David didn't get what he deserved. He received mercy. Now, if you ask David that, he would say he received mercy. But we may look at that and think, well, that doesn't seem to be very merciful. Yes, it was. He got to live. He got to keep on serving God. The Apostle Paul. He had Christians put in jail. He consented to their death. He was running down Christians and again, taking them before trials and having them jailed and put to death. And what did Paul say? Again, 1 Timothy 1 verse 13, he says, I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, an insolent man, but obtained mercy because of the ignorance and unbelief. He said, I received mercy. That's what I got. And again, that's what we want. That's what we desire. And that's something we have to be willing to extend to others in the area of forgiveness, is mercy. That's what Brandon Jean expressed there. But I guess is the third big term word, and that is grace. And it's associated with mercy. You know, a lot of times the two are used together in the Bible. And if you think about grace, we have to understand grace is the idea here of, again, the hug there kind of represented that as unmerited favor. As some would often define grace. And again, that means that what you receive is actually a lot better than what you ever deserve. Now, he had already been forgiven. But, you know, she received grace when he says, I forgive you. And so we gave her the hug. And we understand by doing that there that she was not a sinless person. And in fact, she had done some things. There were some things on social media that showed that she had made some prejudicial comments before about police officers. And she was involved in having an affair with a fellow police officer. She had been involved in it. It wasn't a case where she was sinless, but also it's a case that she had done some good things. There were people that testified on our behalf as far as how compassionate she was towards those who, some of them she hadn't even arrested and she helped them afterwards. And our neighbors talked about how good a person she was. She was a lot like us in a lot of ways. She had some good things and she did some bad things. But look at this and understand that the grace she received, she could not somehow repay the family. She couldn't undo it. She expressed the idea she wished she was dead. She just found it hard to live with this. She couldn't undo it. And so she received what she did not deserve. More than just simply a lenient sentence. She received more than that. That she deserved more than that. And so we think about ourselves. And as we look at our lives, we realize that we are not sinless individuals. None of us can say, I've never done anything wrong before God. And all of us want God's forgiveness, but we want more than that. We want God's grace. And that's what God has made available to us. And that is in 1 Peter 1 verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his abundant mercy, hath begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. You see, we don't just want not to be punished. We have the hope of heaven that God's made available to us. That's grace. That's what God has done for us. And that's the passage we had mentioned earlier, Romans 6 verse 23, first part, the wages of sin is death. But the second part of that verse says, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. That's what we want. That's the grace that God has extended to us. I was reading something else somebody wrote about this. And the person kind of made a little bit of a joke. He said that it's almost like the prodigal son. He said everything's been said, written on the prodigal son from their point of view, except for the fatted calf. And he said, Tom pointed out, said, you know, the thing they had not heard anybody mention was, imagine being Amber Geiger. Imagine being the one sitting there and realizing that your fate, the rest of your life, depended on that jury, and hearing that she could serve 5 years and then get out. Imagine being there and hearing Brandon Jean says, I love you and I want what's best for you. Imagine hearing the judge actually say, here's your Bible, read it. Now, I don't know what Amber Geiger is going to do. I don't know if she'll take that Bible to read it or not. She should. She's been extended forgiveness and mercy and grace. But what I do know is that each one of us has been extended that from God. And we need to simply read our Bibles and do what God says to do. God's grace and mercy is in Christ Jesus. And His forgiveness is also. So this morning we have this invitation that's available because God gives it to us that we could become His child. We can have our sins washed away by the blood of Christ. And we can have the hope of heaven when this life's over with. So this morning, if you need to be baptized and I'll receive those things, why don't you come forward and say,